Well, good evening and happy Thanksgiving to you all. I shall say it in the Texan way. I'm so delighted to hear Marjan's testimony. It is indeed our great God who calls people to faith. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Colossians chapter 3, and it's on the back of the worship guide, or you can open your Bible. And as you do so, I would love to ask our Lord to be present. Not just present, we ask you, Father, to speak to our hearts and to have the peace from you come down on us, ruling in our lives as one body, as one family, and also your word dwelling among us in our hearts richly. And so we can produce the spirit of thanksgiving as we deal with one another and with our neighbors around us, so we can do everything in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we give you thanks. Amen. This is a small section. Actually, the text does not start from verse 12, as you know. It's actually the boundary begins from verse 1. But for the sake of Thanksgiving Eve short sermon, devotion, and reading, I chose just to read those few verses. But I will touch on the context, of course. And here Paul is saying, actually, after he opens up, if you have been raised with Christ, or since you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. And then he touches on the affections. He would say, put off, take off from you all these bad character attitudes that you have been walked in it. And then be dressed with the new man. Because if you have been raised with Christ, then you are no longer in Adam. You are in this last Adam, in the new creation. And you have been resourced. You have been given all the resources you need in order to live that kind of life. And here he comes to say, put on. It's a matter of affection. Take off. But if you just take off malice, lying, and all the bad and evil and sinful character, and you don't replace it, it's something that Paul is touching on. When Jesus said, for instance, to the person, if an evil spirit will be departed from the man, and if that man remains empty, you know, legions of demons will come back. So it's not a matter to take off, to stop doing something, but it's a matter to do the right thing. And this is where he starts. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. It's like he's repeating somehow or echoing the fruit of the Spirit. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, in unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I don't know when Andrew called me on Tuesday, Andrew Size, our beloved brother who prepares the guide and work hard for it every week, I was thinking, how can I be thankful to the church for all what they've done and thankful to David Rogers? If I would come to each of you and say, you know, please, I'm willing to sacrifice time or whatever. If you need me to do anything, I would love to, because I don't know how to express my thanksgiving to you all. And I was like, what will be the title of my sermon? Andrew is asking me now. Now, I thought of the spirit of thanksgiving. And what I mean by spirit is actually, some of you might think I mean the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is involved in all. But the word spirit does actually also mean it's something that produces that the character of someone that has impact. It's an aroma. It's like you say, the spirit of depression spiritual depression. It's a character who is depressed. The good spirit, he's in good spirit. Or blessed are those who are meek in spirit. This is a reflection of the character that does actually extend out of itself. And that's something reminds me of how we were made. And here Paul, actually in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, though I am absent physically from you, I am with you in spirit. I'm in agreement with you. I share with you everything. We believe the same. We have this oneness in the Holy Spirit. So the spirit of thanksgiving is something that I'm trying to reflect on, is how can this be actually extended to the outside? To be thankful, if you don't express your thankfulness through your words, through prayers as we heard, or to say to someone, I'm very thankful, or through a deed, a work you do to prove that you're thankful, I don't think you're thankful. So it must go out. And that's why I thought maybe the spirit of thanksgiving is a good title for it. But the big question is, how do you practice love? Because he said love crowns all these things that Paul is talking about in verse 14. And he says, it puts them all, it binds everything together in perfect harmony. How do you practice love that produces the spirit of thanksgiving? The question is, how can I show my thanksgiving that is related now? I'm not willing actually to speak about the thanksgiving, the American thanksgiving so much, because I'm speaking as if Christianity to the Apostle Paul. I am not the one who can speak to you and teach you about Thanksgiving. You're the one who I need you to teach me more. And it happened that this is probably the second or third year David asked me to preach on Thanksgiving. I was like, wow, this is something. We don't have this in Lebanon. I've learned it here. And that's a wonderful opportunity. Okay. The question is, how can I have this spirit, this character of Thanksgiving, the true Thanksgiving that actually is meant by God? You have to keep in mind always that when the Lord God created the heavens and the earth, he placed man in the Garden of Eden to be an extension of God's character. And it's never to be me alone. It's never to be thankful only for what I got. It's to be thankful in expression that would be extended to the others. It's an aroma. It's like you break in nice perfume and everybody would smell it. But how can this be done? He lays the foundation in the first few verses when he says, if I tell you to do those actually imperatives, to put off and put on, without preceding it with an indicative that has a mystery that changes you, you can't do anything. And that's why he begins in chapter 3 by saying, if you have been raised with Christ, or since you have been raised with Christ, this is a reference to the first resurrection. This is a reference, if you read in John chapter 5, where Jesus speaks of both resurrections, the first spiritual, where he says, it is now when the dead will hear my voice and they will come to be alive. It's a regeneration language over there. And then he goes on and says, why are you marveling at the resurrection? There will be a day when those in the grave will hear his voice and they will rise, one resurrection physically, those to eternal life and those to eternal punishment. This is the first resurrection. This is the regeneration. This is the new identity given. Paul is saying, if indeed you have practiced this, you know exactly what I'm going to say because you're sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if not, you're not going to understand anything. So it seems to me as Paul is trying to start this chapter in Colossians chapter 3, in the book of his letter to the Colossians, like Isaiah 6, entering into the temple, looking where in the midst of misery and pain, looking and seeing that the Lord is seated on his throne. And he said, the only way to experience and to understand yourself and to be transformed and changed is to take your eyes off of this world and all your problems and to put them up in the heavenly realms where Christ is seated, where he's ruling and reigning. That's what it means that he is seated at the right hand of God. He's here next to David. My wife is looking for James. Sorry. So where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. But it seems to me that he's also saying, put your minds, have your character be fed on the character of Christ, and by which you can be transformed and you can be changed. And as we are reading in Colossians 3, I'm looking, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. He's reminding them that you died from all your rights. Oh, there's a matter of sacrifice that Paul is laying a foundation. Yes, he's saying, but only when you are in union with Christ, you will understand what kind of sacrifice is going there. And here where he goes to show us how we can be really thankful, there are three words of thanksgiving are mentioned in our text. When he says, put on, then as God's chosen, holy, and beloved. Look at verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And then in verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It seems the threefolds of or the way we can really receive this heart of thanksgiving and practice it is rooted in those three points. Number one, thanksgiving comes to expression when the peace of Christ is ruling. And that's verse 15. Only when the peace of Christ is ruling. There's something there that is actually a reference indeed to Romans 5. For since you have been justified by faith, may you have peace with God. It's also what Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world will give you. But there's something in Paul, that Benjaminite, who knows the Mosaic law in Leviticus chapter 7 and verses 12 and 13. The thanksgiving sacrifices, it's interesting if you look at these two verses. Verse 12, it's a reference to the holiness of God, where the sacrifice of thanksgiving is practiced there with unleavened bread, with the absence of sin, to remind them that sin is not in God. But in verse 13, there's another kind of a sacrifice of thanksgiving where it is with leavened bread, which is in reference to us. And it seems that that kind of peace to rule in our heart is actually to connect us with the only and ultimate sacrifice ever done in the course of humanity. That was actually the fulfillment of all the books of sacrifices, Jesus Christ. For that reason, the Greeks call the Lord's Supper the Eucharist, Eucharistia, which means the feast of thanksgiving. Before it became under the doctrine of transubstantiation, the transformation of bread into the body, it was the expression of thanksgiving to God. There is sacrifice in this thanksgiving. If the peace of Christ is indeed ruling in your heart, the governing of what you think, of your character, of the deeply seated character of you, the way you think and your motives and affections. If that peace, what kind of peace? If you understand how you have been forgiven, you are that leavened bread. And this is actually the sacrifice of thanksgiving that was offered before the Father on your behalf. If you understand how you are forgiven, can you not extend this to the outside? Can you not forgive others? And he means this. He says it. Forgive one another if you have something against the other. Number two, thanksgiving comes to expression when the word of Christ is dwelling in our hearts richly. And there's the language of temple there. Have you looked at it? It says singing hymns and, right? It's like there's a worship kind of thing. What David said in the sermon about the Puritan who said, Lord, take our children, but do not take your word from us. I remember the first time somebody read this, he said, what's awful? How can he say take our children? I guess you're missing the point of that Puritan man. What he's saying is not something I can convince you or tell you about, but I would love for you to go meditate on the story of Abraham. Because when Abraham wanted to offer up his son as a sacrifice to God, What kind of faith Hebrews 11 reminds us was in Abraham? That God will raise him back from the dead. It is the word of God by which the world was made. It is the word of God by which you come into being. It is because of the word of God I have children. As a consequence, as a natural consequence of God's creation into the world. And am I saying, do not take all what I have, but take your word and keep my child? It's because I really don't understand how rich is the word of God. The word of Christ, the logic of God, dwells in you to change your character. And then, he says, be thankful. And then you can really express that kind of thanksgiving. Thirdly and finally, thanksgiving comes, thanksgiving comes to expression when the name of Christ is the motive for everything. And this is the heart actually beat for it all. This is like you have been baptized into the name of Christ. You have been in union and communion with Christ. What controls your heart to be thankful to God is basically when you understand how you have peace with God, how you have been forgiven. It is basically when that peace of Christ rule over your life. And it is indeed when his word richly dwell in a temple language worship among you. And then you can do everything in the name of Christ in a thankful way. Because you know your identity is in you now. Now, let me conclude with one thing. What Paul is saying with those three main elements that would really produce the spirit of thanksgiving over here is not only that the peace of Christ may rule in my heart, it's not that the word of Christ may dwell richly in my heart, it's not that I will do everything in the name of Christ myself as individual. I'm going to do a counterculture here. He's speaking in plural. And it's impossible to have peace, that kind of peace, if you think of yourself to receive it and not consider the other in the church, in the body of Christ, more important than you. It's impossible to experience that kind of peace or that kind of the word of Christ. He's speaking in a temple language. He's speaking in communication, not union with Christ only, but with one another, with singing hymns, encouraging one another. Paul actually knows that God delights in the family and he creates a new family called for Christ, by which he wants this character, this spirit, I'm absent in the body, but with you in spirit. He wants that new character of the church, that where Christ is named, to be that extension of the character of Christ, the world will know that you are my disciples if you have this kind of love for one another. And not what I get myself, it is what I seek for the other within the body of Christ. I look to the other what the other need, not what I need. I'm not only thankful because I have $1,000 in my pocket or in my bank account, but I'm thankful that my brother is eating. I'm thankful that if they need me, I'm there. I'm thankful to be useful. Because here's the thing. Christ's death and resurrection was not to create theological abstract ideas, but it is that you have been called, you have been put right before God. So you would participate with God in the world to make the whole world right again. And that's 2 Corinthians. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, you would see Paul is speaking of evangelism. So if this grace will go more and more to more people, that spirit of thanksgiving will be given to the glory of God. If you want to be thankful, I urge you to be thankful if you want to reflect the character of Christ, not for what you got as individual, but for the whole body of Christ, and to encourage one another. Let the world around us know that Jesus is Lord. That kind of thanksgiving is truly that you are thankful when you express it in evangelism. And I encourage you, Do not hide the beauty of the character of Christ from those they need it the most to be included in the family. Thank you very much. Amen.